Pray with me. Father, I pray that, you be our vision, that our focus would be on you, that our every breath would be given to you. Father, as we open your word, let it speak to us now. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I want you to imagine for a moment a huge photograph of every writer and superstar, if you will, of the Old Testament. The men and women who formed the human foundation of our faith and lived it out and wrote it and gave us direction in this walk. Imagine, I'm sure that Moses and Abraham would be in the center. People like Ruth and Noah would be easily recognizable to us as if they were stars today. We could pick them out and say, yeah, I know who that is. I've seen them. Imagine on this photograph, though, over here in the corner is a guy, and he looks a bit like Bernie Sanders with his mittens on at the inauguration. You go, who is that guy? But in this great cloud of witnesses of the men and women who put together the Old Testament is Agur. He's one of my favorite characters in the Old Testament because I just feel like I can relate to him. I don't know if I have the same kind of faith that Moses had to lead people. The Ten Commandments, those Abraham, the pillars of our faith. But Agur, I can relate to him. And the more you read his writings, the more you wonder, how did he get in this group? How is he with all of them? And it's a testament to God and to us that everybody was created in God's image for a special purpose, including you have a purpose that God wants you to fulfill. Now, if you did your homework and you managed to find the book of Agur, you know that it's tucked away in the back of Proverbs. Proverbs has 31 chapters. 29 of them, biblical scholars generally agree that Solomon either wrote them or compiled them. But the first 29 are his. If you've been at all involved in women's ministry at any point in your life, you know Proverbs 31. King Lemuel is credited with that one. But then there's Proverbs 30. And it's Agur's proverb. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 30. Over the next 2 weeks, we're going to look at this proverb. It has the distinction of having the only prayer recorded in all of Proverbs. Now imagine that, if you will. All the wisdom that are in the Proverbs, there's one prayer, and it's Agur's. So I've titled this The Prayer of Agur because there's a lot for us to learn from him. He's not one of these people that we know a great deal about. In fact, we know nothing about him other than he wrote Proverbs chapter 30. How it got in the Bible? One day God will tell me because I'm going to ask. But look with me at Proverbs chapter 30. Verse 1 through 3. The sayings of Agur, son of Jakeh, contain this message. And listen and see if you can relate to this. I am weary, O God. I am weary and worn out, O God. I'm reading from the New Living Translation because it is the one that brings it to where we can relate to it the best for me. So listen at this. Verse 2. I'm too stupid to be human, and I lack common sense. I have not mastered human wisdom, nor do I know the Holy One. Now, you have to understand, as you read on, Agur's a bit sarcastic. His message is a little bit like a stand-up comedian. He's just raw and honest. And what he's telling us in these first three verses is he has an incredible humility. He has an awareness about himself in terms of he's tired, he's worn out. He has these days where he just face palms all day. Why can't I figure that out? And he says in verse 3 that he hasn't mastered the smarts of some of those he looks around at. And he says he doesn't know the Holy One in terms of God is so vast, and yet he keeps surprising him every day. When I think I have God figured out, I don't. I can relate to that. And so, we have so much to learn from this common, everyday prophet. Look at verse 4. Because he's going to tell us something about God that we already know. He's going to reveal a God that is undefinable in our human smallness. Look at verse 4. Who but God goes to the heavens and comes down? Who holds the wind in his fist? Who wraps the ocean in his cloak? Who has created the whole wide world? And then pay close attention to this, because this is profound for this day and time. Who is the name? Who is his name? And his son's name? Tell me if you know. Now, this man is writing this book about 1,000 years before Christ. He lives in a day and time when they are keenly aware of the coming Messiah. But we're looking back with hindsight, because if you search the Old Testament, there are only a few references to God having a son. That is not even on their radar screen yet. But here, Agur, the little guy in the corner with his mittens on, who's showing up all these other guys, and how vastly he understands and how close he is to God. He already knows God has a son. This is 1,000 years before. And then he's going to point out some truths for us. Look at verse 5 and 6. Every word of God proves to be true. He is the shield to all who come to him for protection. Do not add to his word, or he will rebuke you and expose you as a liar. Now, this is funny to me, because he says, do not add to God's word, as he's adding to God's word. He's writing the Bible, and he's saying don't add to it, which is something for us to grab a hold of. I want you to listen to this, because This is evidence that Agar is a prophet. Okay? Listen to 2 Peter, verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Above all, you must realize that no prophet in Scripture ever came from... Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from his human intellect. No, the prophet was moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God. So what we're reading here is what God said to Agar, write this down. And so he's saying, don't add to God's word. I'm going to skip verses 7 through 9 because it is his prayer. And next week's message, we're going to dive into that in great detail because there is so much for us to learn from that. But imagine, if you will, he's praying along and then all of a sudden his mind goes somewhere else. Can you relate to that? Can you relate to that? I'm praying along and then I go, squirrel. That's this man, okay? So he's praying this amazing prayer and then snap, he's gone. And look at verse 10. Verse 10 through 15 is just this hodgepodge collection of wisdom. He's just, his mind's just racing everywhere. Okay? Verse 10. Never slander a worker to the employer, or the person will curse you and you will pay for it. Some people curse their father and do not thank their mother. They are pure in their own eyes, but they are filthy and unwashed. Verse 13. They look proudly around, casting disgruntled glares. They have teeth like swords and fang like knives. They devour the poor from the earth and the needy from among humanity. The leeches have two suckers, and they cry out more and more. He's just described every day for us. And what he's pointing out here is who we are as humans. We are broken, sinful, and in need of a God who is bigger than we are. And next, Agar's going to go into some lists that he's going to create for us. And he's a bit scatterbrained. Okay? I can imagine him just talking to himself. And then he starts interrupting himself. You ever done that? But there's great wisdom here. The first list we're going to look at is how broken this world is. Okay, he has a path that he's taking us on. And so the first list is how broken the world is. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 15 and 16. There are three things that are never satisfied. No, four that never say enough. The grave, the barren womb, the thirsty desert, and the blazing fire. Think about those for a minute. The grave is never satisfied. It always wants more. God wants to save us from that, but Satan wants more. It's the spiritual truth that he's bringing out. The second, the barren wound, is an emotional truth for us. Imagine, if you will, the mother who can't have children but wants to. and it becomes a focus. Becomes a single focus that you can't see anything else but that. Imagine those in your life. The things that you get so zeroed in on, you can't see anything else but this. The things of this world that you focus on and you can't see everything else that God wants you to see. The desert. It can never rain enough there, right? It's a physical truth. It's a physical truth for us. Whatever you think it is that's going to satisfy you, it's not. If I had this house or this car or I had this clothes, then I would be happy. But you never are. So he moves from that list to a random thought in verse 17. And we don't have time to cover his randomness. So move down to verse 18. Because he's moving us from focusing on us as humans to beginning to see God. Verse 18. There are three things that amaze me. No, four things that I don't understand. How an eagle glides through the air. How the snake slithers on the rock. How a ship navigates the ocean. How a man loves a woman. He is telling us about God. Okay? And about how God is beyond our human understanding. How there are things that we will never understand this side of heaven. But they just happen. They work. Because that's the way God's designed it. And we can't begin to comprehend all of who God is. So, with in mind of our humanness and how we get focused on things that don't matter, to how vast God is, look at verse 21. This is his third list. We're calling these human mistakes, if you will. There are three things that make the earth tremble. No, four. It cannot endure. A slave that becomes a king, an overbearing fool who prospers, a bitter woman who finally gets a husband, a servant girl who supplants her mistress. There are things that we make mistakes at because we focus on them from a human perspective and not a godly perspective. Think about all the lottery winners who have come into amazing wealth and only to squander it. I watched a special a number of years ago about they followed lottery winners and how it's somewhere around 90% of them are broke within 5 years of winning the lottery. It doesn't matter how much money it is, but within 5 years, they're broke. Now, how many of you have thought in your head, if I ever won the lottery, I would be set. And I would never have another worry. What makes us different than 90% of the people who have done that? The problem is our humanness. And that's what he's pointing out here. In these four things is how when we have human needs, we will never be satisfied and we will lose sight of who God is. The fourth list he's got for us, verses 24 through 28, the small wonders. Now you notice through the first three lists how he's interrupted himself, well, his scatteredness, he got it all. He didn't interrupt himself this time. But there are four things on earth that are small but unusually wise. Ants, they are strong, but they store up food all summer. Hayraxes, they aren't powerful, but they make their homes among the rocks. Locusts, they have no king, but they march in formation. Lizards, they are easy to catch, but they are found even in the king's palace. He is telling us to stop the ifs in your life. Here's what I mean by that. Have you ever said, if I had this, or if I could do this, or if I was this, then I would do that? All the excuses you make for not doing whatever it is you think you need to take care of. What this crazy little scatterbrained prophet is telling you is that you have everything you need to do what God wants you to do. As long as you focus on Him, not the humanness of this world, all these little small wonders, these creatures have everything they need. And He's talking to us. Everything that God wants you to accomplish, everything that God wants you to be, you have. And truly, the only thing you need is Him. Which is going to bring us to our last list. Because if we're focused on understanding that God is vastly beyond our understanding, that we will make more mistakes than you can imagine if we focus on our humanness. And we come to grasp that He's created us for a purpose and made us into what we need to be to accomplish that, then we have to be careful. Verse 29. There are three things that walk stately strides, no, four, strut about. The lion, king of the animals, won't turn aside from anything. The strutting rooster, the male goat, and a king who leads his army. Verse 32. If you have been a fool by being proud or plotting evil, cover your mouth in shame. As the beating of cream yields butter, and striking the nose causes bleeding, stirring up anger causes quarrel. I believe that the hardest thing for us to deal with as humans is pride. It is the thing that separates us from God. It's pride. Think about a lion or a rooster and how they strut. I was watching the Olympics one night. Last night, I think. And one of the runners said something that kind of stuck out to me. It was qualifying, the preliminary. And he said, you know, I didn't have to run very hard today to beat these guys. I'll run harder tomorrow. That sort of pride rarely ever yields what we want. And it usually comes before the fall. Agur, this strange little prophet who was so plugged into God, knew about Jesus 1,000 years before he showed up, truly understood us as humans. And in this strange collection of thoughts, gave us an outline at how to follow Christ and be successful in our human lives. Understanding that God is so much more than we can imagine, that pride is our greatest enemy, that if we humble ourselves and grab a hold of the fact that God has created us for a purpose, and we already have everything we need to accomplish that. Pray with me. Father, I thank you for all the writers of your word. And I thank you for Agur and how in this strange little format he's laid out for us incredible wisdom. Father, I pray that we humble ourselves before you and we acknowledge you as an amazing God who has created us to glorify you. Father, let us cleanse our hearts and focus our minds on you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.